This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Good morning. Welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Angotti, along with Greg Walton. And on the phone, we have Julianne Staley and Robert Fiducia. The team is together. Yay.
We got the band together again.
The band is back together, sort of.
For the first time in a long time.
Because Jimmy quit and Jody got married.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And we have a moderator today. We have Father G with us today.
Father G.
Hello, y'all. Good to be back.
Yeah. So Father G was associate pastor here at St. Philip. And
now he's the Pope.
Oh, no, I'm not. No.
Now he's up at the cathedral. He moved on up.
Yes.
To and also, I guess we University Catholic. You're the the title?
I'm the chaplain.
Chaplain, right? It popped out of my head.
Yeah, I'm the chaplain for University Catholic. It's the campus ministry for the Diocese of Nashville. So it's one of the campus ministry for the Diocese of Nashville.
Yeah,
we work with Vanderbilt and Belmont students, but we also welcome other, smaller college that don't have a campus ministry, so we're like, all are welcome.
Awesome.
He's also the BFB. You know what the BFB is?
No.
He's the bouncer for the bishop.
Oh, do tell.
He's the bouncer for the bishop.
There's another title for that, but okay, I think I'm going to change my cards now.
You like that BFB?
What do they officially call it? The MC?
Yeah, the Episcopal Master Ceremonies.
Yeah, he's the MC.
Yeah, I kind of like Bishop Bouncer better. I think that's
like that
accurate.
Too, Robert.
MC Gervon Bishop Bouncer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's awesome. So,
oh, my goodness.
Robert and Julianne, they're just coming off NCYC, and I really want, and Father G was there too.
Yeah, I was there too.
So,
sure was.
The National Catholic Youth Conference, we're an acronym world.
Yes.
And so I want to hear from Julianne's perspective as a participant, and then Robert was behind the scenes with creating all this stuff. So I'd love to hear your guys' story of how that was.
Well, I'm anxious too. So I would really like to hear Julianne's perspective as someone who's bringing young people and was able to process with young people, and of course Father G as well. But Julianne, you brought teens, and so you were processing it with them. And just to say what my role was, I was lead script writer. So you look at the page and you hope that things are going to take a hold and give young people an encounter with the Lord, because our mission is threefold at the National Catholic Youth Conference: for young people to encounter Christ, experience the church, and be empowered for discipleship. So that kind of sets the plate. So Julianne, we'd love to hear, did we meet it? Did it happen?
Well, close your ears for a second, Robert.
I will.
No, I'm just kidding. No, honestly and truly, it was a very powerful experience for me as a youth minister, but it was very humbling as well to experience exactly what you set out on the course throughout the course of the weekend, the focus with scripture, thematically, but also really looking at one in particular with the road to Emmaus, and to hear the reflection on the road to Emmaus, but then also experience it throughout the course of the weekend. Like, I seriously think I don't know from the kids' perspective, but I felt like I had more of a takeaway than the kids, just to be able to walk alongside them on this journey this past weekend. And most of the kids that I took, there were about 100 from the Diocese of Nashville, but most of the kids I took, they didn't know that there are this many young Catholics who are on fire for the faith. And so for them to look in a stadium that's used for mostly concerts or professional football, Lucas Oil Stadium, for them to look around and see 20,000 kids who are just like them, like, it was like, watching kids open a gift on Christmas. Like, they were just so excited that they're not alone in this. Because I think it's really hard for kids to express their faith, especially in public schools.
Yeah.
And so, Father G, what was your take out of it?
This is my third NCYC, and I kind of this year got a new job, so to speak. Now I was with Robert and kind of helping a little bit of the liturgy. So it was kind of a different way to see the things happening,
Uh-huh.
But I think I agree with Julianne, see all those young kids there able to experience that. you know, and then, I mean, so many surprises. The Pope, you know, had a video for us. And then, like, I mean, it was, and I don't know how Robert did that, but I think only a couple of people knew about that video. Right, Robert?
That's right. I tried to keep it under wraps because that came from Archbishop Gomez. He's the one who brokered that, who's the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And my boss, who Declan Weir Productions, we do all of the production. I didn't even tell him that this was coming. I wanted to see his reaction afterwards.
Yeah. But, you know, like,
yeah, I don't think he was very happy with me. I don't think he was glad that I kept that big of a secret from him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did
I bet Declan was like fit. I bet he was smiling ear to ear when he saw that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very, very happy. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to review everything. And I was just looking at the live stream before the show began. And because that's archived, and it just so many times I was just welling up watching it. One was when to hear the reaction after the video had played and their love of the Holy Father and what that meant to them, and then seeing the comments that are still archived there on YouTube, I was overwhelmed by that. And then and then seeing these young people that we had to chant the gospel, had these fantastic voices, and we had the deacon friend of mine who's from the Diocese of Toledo, Ohio. He took the part of Jesus, and then we had the narrator, young woman named Lily from Roncalli High School, and then Kim and Xavier, all from Roncalli High School up in Indianapolis. Beautiful voices. So Lily took the place of the narrator. Kim was Cleopas, and then we had Xavier to be the other disciple, and to hear these gorgeous voices, these gorgeous young voices, to chant the gospel. There was just a solemnity that came to the event, and it brought me to tears just even reliving it. And I was worried about this night because there was such solemnity to it. I was afraid that the kids were going to be bored. But we started out with For King and Country for a concert, and then our house band came in, and then it just naturally progressed into something, I think, very solemn and very beautiful.
And Robert, I share with this with you. I had one of the youth, actually, St. Philip Youth, that was going through a lot of stuff the last couple of weeks, and he went to UIC, and then I got this text from his mom saying, I don't know what is happening there, but I know that the Holy Spirit is working.
Yeah.
This is really good. So kind of to see that, you know, and we know how, you know, teenagers, they don't talk to parents about that. But this specific young
man
was talking, you know, texting his mom and say, something is happening here. And mom said, this is really awesome that is happening, because it is really happening if he just texts me and say that something is happening. So to see that happening was pretty cool.
That's great. Well, what did the Pope have to say? I mean, what was his words? What were his remarks?
Really, I mean, his primary message is, you know, as we would imagine, it is go. It is be merciful. You don't have to go out and convince anybody. You don't have to, basically, as we would say, beat people over the head with the gospel. It is to live the gospel of love and mercy and to go. So we just had his greeting, but then he put his paper down because he was reading this message. And just by the way, I did send over to him, and I was asked to provide talking points to him, which that made me really nervous. Like, here you go, Holy Father, here's what we're talking
about.
Yeah. Well, did he listen to me? No. Just like my kids. So what's the difference? So it was nothing what I asked him to talk about. but man, was it good. But he did. He just put down his prepared remarks, looked straight in the camera, and it was about living the kindness and the love of the Lord and extending mercy to others. You know, very, very Pope Francis in the message.
Was there ever another Pope? I don't remember another Pope in the years past. Is that the
first time?
That's the first time ever, mm-hmm. right?
That's right. That's the first time ever. Yeah.
He looked right into the camera, just like Mr. Rogers, right? You know?
He did.
You feel that connection? No, that's exactly what he did. He would look at you and speak to you as if you were like the most important
Yeah, and the cool thing is he was speaking in Spanish. So, you know, it was like coming for his heart. It wasn't something that was just not like, oh, this is the text that I'm going to, you know, that I'm going to talk. And it was pretty, I mean, it was amazing when he just let the paper down and just start to talk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, my
Did
kids,
that have impact were, on the kids, Julianne?
I was about to say, my kids were going nuts when, like, we have our group message for our youth group, and they were sending, like, messages after messages to everyone else who couldn't make the trip, being like, you guys, the Pope just talked to us. You know, to think that he had a message for that particular group of kids at the conference, I think we left a huge impact on them. And for them, you know, I mean, whether it's one person or 20,000 or 200,000, for you to be in the audience like that and hear a message for you, I think that was very powerful for the kids.
Well, and when he said NCYC, because, you know, he came up and people thought that it was just a generic message. But when it was evident that he was addressing the people in the stadium, the gasps you could hear around the stadium, attentiveness that they gave to him. And then when he finished, just this eruption of applause. It was it was great to be a part of.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And if I could also give a shout out to the house band. Two of the folks live here in town, Ricky Vasquez and Sarah Kroger, and then someone who used to live here but now is in Phoenix is Ike Ndolo. And Ike he's really kind of come into his own as a minister, and he did his song, which is Land of the Rising Sun.
Oh yeah.
Three opportunities he had to play it, and by that third time, the place was he rocked it as much as For King and Country did. Would you guys say the same thing, Julianne and Father G?
Oh yes.
Yeah, I thought it was really beautiful how the three of them, him, Ricky, and Sarah Kroger, they seem to really collaborate well and mesh well as a house band, because I know I don't know music, but sometimes with musicians, they all kind of have their own sound or what they're going for, but they worked really well together, and I think that led to really the kids catching on and wanting to sing because you could tell they were singing from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's a...
So...
Go ahead,
Ray. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I was going to say, we need to play it. But do you have something else you wanted to share about that, Robert?
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, if we need some songs for this segment, then we should go to Land of the Rising Sun.
Yeah. I think it's really cool, because we're celebrating the first Sunday of Advent, right? Where we're looking at the second coming of Christ and what that means for us. And also, you know, with the Holy Father, I was watching his tweets over the last couple days, and I think this ties in, because we're talking about the Pope and his message, but here's something that he said to us in the last few days. The kingdom of heaven is our common goal, a goal that cannot be only about tomorrow. We have to implore it and begin to experience it today. And that's something I think that the song also taps into, you know, that we belong to the land of the rising sun, where the grave is no more and the war has been won. But it's not just something in the future. It's something that we bring to the table today as well. So here's...
Well, and then also if we could pick up on that what the early church did is they went out at dawn and faced the east, because they believed that the Lord was going to come with the sunrise. Mm-hmm. And that's why we orient our worship towards the east, because of that. So there's it's just a right song to have at this time of year. So go ahead, Greg, and I'll let you introduce it in.
All right. So here's Land of the Rising Sun by Ike Ndolo. On Living Real Radio, Hippie Radio 94.5.
I'll be right back.
The dark is growing. The tomb is reaching now. Oh, but you can't have me. Oh, but you can't have me. The crows are circling. The jackal waits in the dark. Oh, but
is no more. The war has been won. I belong to the land of the rising sun. I belong to you.
On Hippie Radio 94.5. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Please visit our sponsor.
Honey, have you seen my Allen wrench?
Mom, where's my baseball glove?
Dad, do you know where my ballet shoes are?
Has anyone seen my phone charger? I can't find it anywhere.
Tired of losing things? Tired of the clutter? Let Closets by Design help you organize your life. Have one of their experts come to your home for a free in-home design consultation. Whether it's a small closet, your office space, your pantry, or even a big garage, Closets by Design can help you make the most from the space you already have. And all units are built in their factory right here in Franklin, Tennessee. Call them today at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700. You'll be amazed at what Closets by Design can do for you and your family. It's the best time of year to organize your entire home. Right now, get 40% off. You heard me right. 40% off their everyday low prices, plus free installation. Call Closets by Design today, 615-261-8700, or visit closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Angotti, with Father G and Greg and Julianne and Robert have calling in. And think about Father G. He used to be a radio announcer. Is that correct?
It was correct. Yeah, I was in Brazil many years ago before I entered the seminary. We had a daily radio show for you.
Cool.
Now, how would you say Living Real Radio in Portuguese?
Whoa.
Whoa?
Vivendo a vida real. Rádio. Or something like that.
Did you just make that up?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you totally made that up.
No, I'm trying to translate it. Yeah, vivendo a vida real.
Cool. So what was one? Was there like a catchphrase with your youth show, you know, that you would...
Ooh, that's so many years ago. It was called Papo Jovem.
What does that mean?
It's youth talking.
Youth talking.
Youth talking.
Yeah, so...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. So, coming out of National Catholic Youth Conference, we're talking about gathering with people. You know, we're gathered here as a community, and we just celebrated Thanksgiving.
Right. And a lot of people gathered, you know. And sometimes that can be a challenge, right? I mean, you know, it's great to have family together, but then sometimes you're really relieved when they all go back to their respective corners of the world.
Now, Julianne, does your family do anything unique for Thanksgiving?
No, actually, we don't. Yeah, we have turkey. My mom makes all the food. And it was nice this past Thanksgiving.
It's good food.
Oh, she is fantastic. And so we just all are kind of sous chefs in the kitchen with whatever she needs help with. But she's used to cooking for 12 anyway, you know, with six brothers eating a lot. So for her, Thanksgiving is just another dinner. In terms of preparation, she just really has it down to a science. But it was really cool because this past week, I decided to volunteer my brothers to help me serve at Room in the Inn. And so we made dinner for 40 men. And that was my favorite part of Thanksgiving this year, was just being able to be alongside my brothers and a couple of our close family friends, serving those in need, especially on a rainy night like it was this past Tuesday.
You guys do that every year?
No, we usually have a Friendsgiving every year with our family friends of Strobel's. And this year, I just suggested that before we have our own dinner, what if we made dinner for others? And so everybody jumped on board. And I mean, it was just extraordinary to see not just those of us that serve dinner, but all those volunteers that come every single Tuesday at Cathedral to do this, you know, because it takes really like 40 people to pull this off with picking them up and blowing up air mattresses and all that. So,
The whole thing about, you know, Room in the Inn is not necessary. Yeah, it is good that we go and feed them. But I think the things that whenever I take a group or whatnot, it's be with them, you know, talk to them, learn their names. You know, it's not only feeding. I have a good friend in Brazil that, you know, he often go and feed homeless people. Mm-hmm. But then he, every time that he goes, he buy two meals, one for him and one for the person. And then he sit down with the person and got to know the person name, you know, so it's that kind of, yes, you are, you know, creating the image of God. And I'm here to share this meal with you.
Yeah. And I mean, some of these guys, you're the only the second person they've spoken to all day, you know, and they just want someone to chat with or speak to. And I think a big misconception about homeless is that they're just sitting on the side of the street, not doing anything for themselves. But I mean, this past Tuesday, there were probably 20 construction workers who came in, and they're men who are just down on their luck, who, you know, they got evicted for one reason or another, or something happened to their family. And so they're trying their hardest to do what they can for themselves. And I think it's very powerful just to see these men come together, because they kept calling each other brothers. And so when they said grace, which that's my favorite moment of serving at Rim in the Inn, the one man who prayed this past Tuesday, he's like, "Dear God, thank you for all these brothers here with me." And so I just was really moved by that. And yeah, it was beautiful.
You know, that's the one thing that I do appreciate about Catholic social teaching that I do think is unique, particularly from like a secular standpoint, is that it's about the word of solidarity, as we all know. And Father G, you just mentioned it, that it's not just, well, we're in this lofty state because we've uniquely been blessed, and so they need us. It's about relationship. That's what solidarity is. It's not just, let me give you some of mine. It's, you have something to give to me. And there was somebody who worked for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. He was in their justice office, but he didn't want to live in Washington, D.C. He wanted to live in central West Virginia, this little town of Webster Springs.
Hey, I know that.
And yeah, you know, yeah, of course, right there in the middle. And so he was doing something for somebody, and they tried to give something back to him, and he went, no, please, I appreciate that, but no. And the gentleman said, a stick that don't measure both ways ain't worth nothing.
Whoa.
That there has to be a sense of mutuality, you know? So then in our service to those, there has to be a sense of receptivity to them and to who they are. And I do find that to be unique.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. When we have like mission trips and stuff like that, a lot of times we have that sense of like, I'm going to give something to them. You know, they are missing something.
Right.
I'm going to give something to them. But it's really awesome to understand it when the kids come back and they say, oh my God, I received so much more than I gave.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I was listening to 1A yesterday on NPR, and it was an interview with Brené Brown, and she talks about belonging, right? And one of the things I think that we're kind of busting open here is really she talks about the difference between empathy and sympathy, that empathy is when we identify with each other's story, whereas sympathy is we look at, oh, poor thing, you know, bless your heart, you know, kind of deal. That doesn't have a transforming effect, you know, right? It's because you're looking at yourself at this place and somebody else is down here. Whereas with empathy, with the exchange, you know, of that two-way street, you know, we share each other's story and we find those common threads in solidarity. And we come back with, we gain something from the person as well as giving. So
that's a missing in the world. It seems a lot, empathy, you know, to have empathy for another of where they are on their journey. You know, we're so quick to judge and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
And the whole thing is the journey, you know, nobody's perfect.
Right.
We are in the journey. We are trying. As long as we're trying, I mean, that's all we can do, you know, trying to be a better person, trying to be a better version of ourselves.
Yeah.
Are we perfect? No. But, you know, we can't just stay where we are. We have to move.
Yeah.
We have to go on and move that.
Yeah. And that was something else that Dr. Brown, by the way, I'll just Dr. Brown is she studies human connection and she does a lot of research on belonging and community. And one of the key things that she says is that that believing in and belonging to ourselves has to be first before we can belong to one another, realizing that we have value, you know, and that's true for everyone, that we really can't, unless we can stand up and offer ourselves completely as gift, and be vulnerable.
Yep.
Then we don't have connection, you know?
Yeah. Well, this Thanksgiving, I'm,
you know, that,
oh, go ahead.
Greg, you're just hitting on something that I was just teaching, because I teach over in the Diocese of Knoxville for deacon candidates, and this is getting rather deep and theological, but what in God's self, Father to Son, Son to the Father, there is this eternal stance of self-giving, of self-donation to one another. You know, so, you know, the word kenosis, where in the Philippians canticle it said that Jesus emptied himself, that word empty is kenosis. And so always emptying, giving of oneself. And so for us to be conformed, to be formed into the image and likeness of Christ, is that's what we're being formed into this constant state of emptying ourselves on behalf of another, and that is not from a place of let me serve you. It is let me give everything that I have, you know. And that's what I really do think is underneath everything with Catholic social teaching. It's a complete emptying of self, not just money, but of heart,
mm-hmm.
of being.
And at the same time, I think what Dr. Brown would say is that in order to empty ourselves, we have to believe that we have something to give.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you have nothing.
Is that,
yeah,
yesterday's gospel was exactly that, the little widow, mm-hmm. that put everything that she,
yeah,
yeah,
on the, Julianne was there in the mass, so she heard a really good homily, I hope.
I wonder who gave it.
Who's,
it was great because it was short.
Oh, it was the bishop?
Yeah, the bishop was, no, he was. He's in Rome right now, by the way. He's getting ready to meet with the Pope in the next couple of days. But yeah, so that kind of sense of getting everything. You know, it's not just about money or not, but everything that widow had nothing. The only thing that she had was those two coins, and she gave it everything. And that's what we call to you, to give everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes we feel that we don't have anything. Sometimes we get to ourselves and just, I only have sins. Give that to God. Allow God to take that, because you transform that in something better.
And to trust that he's going to transform.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of it as well. So Thanksgiving, Robert, you had all the kids home for Thanksgiving?
Well, we do have everybody. This morning at 6:40 in the morning, I picked up my daughter, who's a freshman, up in Columbus, Ohio area, picked her up. So we have everybody at home. And then my mom and dad, my dad finally retired. My brother is, he's a news producer in the CBS affiliate down in Birmingham. And so my parents are moving up from Mississippi to Birmingham since, you know, obviously I have my kids here, but my brother's single and living down there, no family. So they said, let's retire Birmingham. We'll be there for Nick, and we're only 3 hours away from Robert and the kids and Kathleen. So they're all coming up for Thanksgiving. So I'm just very, very delighted for that. Have all of them with us.
And this year's different for Greg because he's minus your son.
So, right. Yeah, I haven't mentioned this, but we had Joseph on the air, right?
And
So he is at boot camp with the U.S. Marines. He's in week three now. And we got the form letter from his drill sergeant, Sergeant Ortega. And then a form letter from Joseph on, you know, basically just with his name that he self-addressed. And then I got a phone call, you know, like when he arrived on Paris Island, and it was very scripted and short, you know, in the soldier voice, you know, I have arrived at my destination and do not send letters until you have my address for me, blah, 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 blah. Click. That was it. So
that's like the seminary, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit different without Joseph.
Yeah. It's a little different. But we've been writing to him and I'm just having him in our thoughts and prayers a lot. I have, Sarah, my daughter, her confirmation saint is Joan of Arc. And so she gave him her Joan of Arc medal that she got for her confirmation because she's the patron saint of soldiers. And so, although he's not going to be a soldier, he's going to be a Marine. There's a difference. But in any case, they said he couldn't bring that. You know, they suggested he not bring it. So what we're all doing is taking turns wearing it in the family and praying for him. And it's actually helped me. I got to the gym a lot, you know, this week, I think, you know.
Good.
So Joan's been helping me and thinking about him and all he's going through. I thought, I'm going to work out too and lift it up for Joseph. I'm going to do some PT in solidarity with his boot camp. You know?
That's great. That's great. Well, we're having steak.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't do turkey. The kids.
Really?
Nobody likes turkey. So.
So funny fact. In Brazil, we don't have Thanksgiving. So
right.
We don't have.
What?
That's so un-American.
I understand, right?
Yeah, it is South America.
It's
right.
It's a little bit south. But we actually have turkey on Christmas Day even.
Yeah.
So we don't have turkey until December 24th.
Okay. Gosh.
Yeah.
That's what they do in Europe too. Melissa was telling me.
Yeah, so
they have their turkey on Christmas.
So since in Brazil we don't celebrate Halloween nor Thanksgiving, Christmas decorations go up like my mom does, like October.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, the Philippines, from my understanding, they start in August or September with Christmas parties and celebrations.
Oh, my goodness.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I think we should do that here too.
Do you put up decorations before Thanksgiving in your homes?
Well,
in
my house, yes. So, because I'm living in the Cathedral Rectory, and people start to use the Cathedral Rectory for parties, you know, like the Knights of Columbus and all that stuff. So, it's full decorated. It kind of hurt right now because, you know, for me, like, we have to wait for Advent because sometimes we just forget about Advent. But, yeah, so.
I got an idea. What if we start Advent after Halloween and do Advent from Halloween to Thanksgiving? And then start celebrating Christmas, 4 weeks of Christmas coming into Christmas. And then, because it seems that as soon as Christmas Day, I know I'm never going to happen, but you know, as soon as Christmas Day's over, everybody's done.
But the
church wants to, you know, we're still singing and all that, which is great, and we're still celebrating, but. Maybe.
Well, apparently not.
Well, can we rethink it? I wonder if there's a way to rethink the strategy and kind of meet people. I mean, could you walk into there? I walk into these places like I do a Christmas tour and stuff, and so you get some folks say, "If you sing one Christmas song, you're out," you know. And it's like, okay, I get that we're celebrating in a liturgical setting, you know, but still, people are listening to Christmas carols in their car.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, 90. Well, I will say, I'm not going to say it because I'm on a different radio station. I probably can't mention the
competition.
Yeah,
don't do that. We're on the best. Right?
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah. But, you know, put you in the spirit. You know, you get into spirit for those 4 weeks. But Advent's a beautiful season, but it kind of gets pushed aside when it's right up when people are celebrating Christmas. So is there a way to rethink Advent so Advent has its own time?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that would be great.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to do that, but we have 4 weeks of Advent, so we just have to use those 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I never thought I would take a more conservative position than Father G, but I would be so against that. Okay. So against that.
Well, it was just a thought, you know. I knew it would never fly, but, you know. But I love the Advent season, of which we're celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. Just that prepping and getting ready and you know, the seasons in the church that change. You know, we don't do the Gloria, the music switches, all that kind of stuff that puts you in. The colors change and
purple.
Yep.
Yep.
And that kind of stuff.
Well, and if I could say, there's Sarah Hart, PJ Anderson, and I, on December the 4th, we're going to have just an evening of sharing songs and story as well at Holy Family in Brentwood. If you're able to come, would love to have you. Just tell a story about my grandfather and probably a story about my son, leading into a couple of songs that I had co-written with Sarah Hart, and just kind of a take on lessons and carols, and carols, to get ready for Advent. So if anyone's around, please, love
that'd
to have
great.
You.
Yeah, I've seen it up on Facebook. I'm glad you mentioned that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll be in Fort Wayne, Indiana that night at St. Vincent's doing a similar.
Oh, doing something similar? Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be the whole thing is about the incarnation. So it's the story leading of the incarnation and all that kind of stuff, with Advent songs only.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So what's a good Advent song? Let's play an Advent song.
Well, I got a good one.
Yeah, let's do that. That's a great
yes.
song.
You do have a good one, Greg.
It's a great song. Come to Us.
Thanks. So, yeah, so this is Come to Us, and we'll do the Advent edition so we don't upset Robert, because I have a...
We, you know,
it has a second chorus that you can do at Christmas time. So we'll make sure we do the Advent chorus.
The Advent version.
Come to Us. And it's co-written with my wife, Mary.
Awesome. Who's celebrating her 50th birthday. Oh, can I say that?
You can say
Ouch.
It. Yeah, you can say it. So
you're going to get in trouble, Joe.
Yeah. She doesn't look 50. She looks like she's 39. You can tell her.
Yeah, no.
She looks great.
Okay. Yeah. No, she's doing great. Yeah.
All right. So here's Come to Us by Greg Walton and Mary Walton. We'll be right back on Living Real Radio.
Scattered and broken, bent in our way, we are your people, gathered to praise you, a vineyard uprooted, narrow in sight. Come, Lord of glory, come, Lord of light, come to us, O Lord of glory, and shine in our hearts. Come to us, O Lord of glory, and make us anew. Lord, we wait for you. Lord, we wait for you. Lord, we wait for you. Come, Lord of glory. Come, Lord, our day spring. Come from on high, as we your gather to praise you, unworthy to taste from your heavenly vine. But your word will heal us, come light divine. Come to us, O Lord of glory, and shine.
Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Honey, have you seen my Allen wrench?
Mom, where's my baseball glove?
Dad, do you know where my ballet shoes are?
Has anyone
seen my phone charger? I can't find it anywhere.
Tired of losing things? Tired of the clutter? Let Closets by Design help you organize your life. Have one of their experts come to your home for a free in-home design consultation. Whether it's a small closet, your office space, or pantry, or even a big garage, Closets by Design can help you make the most from the space you already have. And all units are built in their factory right here in Franklin, Tennessee. Call them today at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700. You'll be amazed at what Closets by Design can do for you and your family. It's the best time of year to organize your entire home. Right now, get 40% off. You heard me right. 40% off their everyday low prices, plus free installation. Call Closets by Design today, 615-261-8700, or visit closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with Jonah Gorey, Greg Walton, Julianne Staley, and Robert Fajicia. And I'm Father G, and I'm here today.
Yay!
Wow,
that was great. That was the Father G voice on radio. Yes. Father G. Hey, maybe you should have your own station.
I don't know.
No.
Thank you, Judy. I was going to ask you to be my co-host, but I think it's a no.
So you know, we have Father G here today, and the bishop's out of town, so there's a big party going on here in Memphis. Memphis in Nashville.
But Dad's away.
Yeah, Dad's away. So why is the bishop in Rome?
So every couple of years, I think it's every 5 to 7 years, they have what they call the ad limina visiting. It's a visitation from, and what they do is the United States is divided in different regions. So we belong to region number 5. And all the bishops, I'm assuming about 18 of the bishops from that region is... they are in Rome right now to meet with the Pope. So they go throughout all the congregations, you know, the congregation for the bishop and all the congregations in Rome. And the end of that visit is a meeting with the Pope. So they have about a 2-hour meeting with the Pope that they can kind of ask questions to the Pope, and the Pope can ask questions for them. And in preparation for that, all the dioceses send... kind of a report of how many baptisms we had, how many funerals, how many first communions, and all that. And kind of that's the time for the bishops to be with the Pope, so the Pope know what is going on in Nashville, Tennessee, and all the, you know, regions, all the diocese in this region number 5.
Awesome. And it's a pretty big region, because it is all the dioceses in Kentucky, which I think is 5, the 3 in Tennessee, 2 in Alabama and Mississippi, respectively, and then 5 in Louisiana. So I think we've got to be we must be one of the larger regions in the country. Would you say so, Father G?
I think so, yes. And we are about 18 bishops are in this visit with the Pope. So
that's a lot of purple caps.
It is.
Yeah. Or they're not quite purple.
Yeah, they are.
Are they purple?
They're purple.
I have a question.
Bishop purple.
They're kind of reddish purple.
Where do we get the idea for the bishop hat? Like, where did that thing come from? Because I think it needs redesigned. He needs a new hat.
Are we talking
and
about the
do it in Advent? We need to redesign it and do it in Advent.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Which should be in October.
Yeah.
I'm just all about change for some reason.
You know, we should send John. Yeah, send John to the Pope.
They need a new wardrobe. That hat is just like.
Are we talking about the mitre or talking about the mitre?
Yeah, the mitre. Yeah. The mitre.
Well, Father G, you probably know it symbolizes the tongue of fire of the Holy Spirit that rests on the bishop, who is the teacher.
Oh,
it does.
Yeah.
John.
I thought it was from Saturday Night Live.
Oh my God.
That was from the Conan.
You know, I got to say, it's better than that, what the Knights of Columbus used to wear, you know, that.
Oh yeah.
Chapeau.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. Some, you know,
could be worse.
It could
That's
be
for changing.
Maybe they go to a ball hat, you know, be kind of cool, you know, with an emblem of the fire or something on it. Yeah, I don't think many people know that's what that's for.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, beneath that, we have the Zucchero.
Right.
That it's called
also
Soli Deo. That means in Latin, above you only God, as the teacher and the, you know. So it's pretty cool. So
what is that?
Is the Zucchero, is it the little...
It's a little
the little beanie thing.
Yeah. Put in yeah. The yarmulke.
Yeah, well,
yeah, kind of the same same idea. And then the Pope, you know, the Pope wears a white, the cardinals wear a red, and the bishops wear a purple. And priests can wear a black one.
Oh.
So, yeah, I've seen
that's right.
So it's
and zucchetto is comes from the Italian zucca, which is pumpkin. So it's a little pumpkin on the head.
I learned that at NCYC.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We had our little trivia game.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know any of that stuff before, Julianne?
Yes, only because I am a nerd and I taught church history.
Oh. Yeah,
that's a hard one to teach. Whew.
Well, church history, you know, church history, I think, is so interesting, though, when you dive into it. And, you know, our I think everybody should dive a little bit into church history, kind of know what's going on. You know, those are little easy questions, but I mean the real things of where we came from, going all the way back to.
It's just not easy to dive into with sophomores. It's just,
yeah, they're probably not real interesting.
But to say, I enjoyed it. I don't know if they enjoyed it as much as I
did. Right.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? What are you prepping for at the cathedral? Like, you have all these college kids. What are you going to do? Where are you going to lead them for Advent? Do you have a plan?
Yeah, I think for Advent for us is a little bit hard because they right now are all on a Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
So when they come back for a week for finals, and then they are done. You know, so we kind of, we had a couple of books and stuff that we're going to do for them to kind of try to, you know, keep them on the spirit of Advent and everything. But Advent is kind of a hard time too, because they are, you know, they are so tired, and they are come back for finals, and they're like, we're done, you know, we just go back home. And but I think the biggest bless that I have with the students that I work with is, you know, sometimes in a parish or in a high school that I worked before, somehow the kids go there because they are made to, you know, parents say, you're going to go to the youth group or whatever, or, you know, in a high school, you expect this to happen. But I think for us at University Catholic is they are there because they want.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of that. When I first got there, I was like, oh, this is so cool, because they are here because they want to grow their faith. They are here because they want to participate in the sacraments. Nobody, you know, and that's what I said on the moving in mass. And I said, parents, thank you so much. You know, you got them here. From now on, they have to take their faith on their own, you know, because this is their faith. Now, mom and dad are not asking them, or some of them still ask, but not making them, you know, to go to mass or to do to the sacraments. And it's just beautiful. We have mass every day from Monday through Friday at 5:30 at the cathedral. Hmm. And an hour before, from 4:30 to 5:30, we have adoration to the Blessed Sacrament. And, you know, it's amazing to see, you know, 50, 100 kids there just adoring the Lord. And, awesome. You know, singing, you know, I mean, we do a lot of chant and everything during Mass, weekdays and all. But it's so amazing to see. Yeah. Same way on the 9 p.m. Mass, that's what we call the last chance Mass of the diocese. You know, I have the latest Mass in the diocese, to see about 200 to 300 students there.
Wow, that's big.
You know, so it's... it's just amazing to see that happening.
Yeah. Julianne, what's going to happen with the for the Journey for the Young People for Advent here at St. Philip?
Well, Advent is a time of reflection and preparation for our Lord. And so with finals coming up, like Father G was talking about, the high school kids, they'll have those as well. But I'm actually going to have the confirmation students and some high school kids help with Room in the Inn throughout the Advent season, and to go to the nursing home by St. Philip, and just to give back to the community and be the hands and feet of Christ. Because I think a lot of times, like we were mentioning earlier, we kind of get lost in preparation for Christmas, but not really focusing on being in the moment for Advent. And so that's what we have coming up for the youth.
That's great. And Robert, what would you suggest be some reading or something that, you know, you do that other people would find that they could do as well?
Well, I always say, just very simply, bring out the Advent wreath. Just honor that as a family. You know, just every night, light the wreath, and remember that we're anticipating the coming of Christ. So that would be something as a family to have that in a prominent place. And then for me, I really enjoy the Liturgy of the Hours during Advent, and it was very significant in my life to have the Advent Office of Readings when I was in seminary, and actually when I was discerning leaving. But the Office of Readings, the hinge moments of the Liturgy of the Hours are morning prayer and evening prayer. But there's also at another office, another time, another prayer time, where you're reading through scripture reading, but also one of the patristic, one of the church fathers, one of the early church writings, or a doctor of the church. And going through that, it's so laser focused on what Advent is about. It's just a very good discipline. So that's what I would say for me that I do, the Office of Readings, but then also as a family, just doing the Advent wreath. And normally what you see is by the end, you get this little bitty nub that was the first, but then the fourth is barely even lit. But hopefully you can rotate your candles well and keep them all even. Okay. What about you, John? What do you do, brother?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I try to prep the music for Christmas. Yeah.
But you're doing that in October, though, right? Since you're moving Advent to October.
That's right. We're moving that to October. Yeah. Yeah. So I prepare reflecting on the incarnation of God in my everyday life, and each week looking at the readings and how the readings are speaking to me today, and try to use that in the talks and stuff that I do throughout this tour that I'm doing. I'm doing 12 dates between, first one is, well, it would have been last night because this is airs Sunday at Puckett's in Leaper's Fork. So if anybody, of course, it's too late for that now. But anyway, I think it was a good time. I sure hope so. Yeah. And, but anyway, so it's going to be a busy season.
You're going to be at Church of Nativity, too.
Yes. It's December 22nd.
Yeah. 7 p.m. Yep. Church of Nativity.
And St. Philip has our concert here on December the 13th.
7 p.m.
Yeah, 7 p.m., so that's going to be a busy time. And the cathedral probably has a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we normally had a cathedral day, Christmas at the cathedral, but this year we don't. Don't ask me why, but...
They can come on down here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great opportunity to come here, but we're going to have Christmas kind of evening prayer...
Oh, nice.
Service on this December 15th.
December 15th.
December 15th at 3 p.m. So.
Okay.
Oh, exciting. All right.
So I think for our listeners, like those who aren't Catholic, I think it's, things that you're all talking about, Advent wreath, I think that other people can incorporate that into their traditions or create something if you're not... if you're not of the Catholic faith, you can still enter into an encounter with Christ and celebrate an Advent as well. And, so through the usccb.org is a great opportunity where you can get all the readings for those, there's scripture-based churches, Bible-based churches that may be listening that don't have an Advent liturgical celebration like we do.
And I think each one of us, despite our faith or not, we always, get ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
Clean the house, try to have those New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. And for us as Catholics, our New Year is today. Today is now we have to say
that's
Happy
right.
New Year because
that's right.
Indeed a new liturgical year.
Yeah.
Now we finished year C and we're going to start year A now. So this is kind of for us, what are our New Year resolutions that we're going to have for this next coming liturgical year? How am I going to encounter Christ? How am I going to go close to Him? So the kind of things that we have to think about it. As we know, clean the house or, start to get all those things that I haven't used this, wear this for, many years. So now I can just go back and,
right.
How can I do that in my heart?
That's awesome.
How can I, get ready to receive Jesus in Christmas time?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So, we wish y'all a happy Advent, and Robert and Julianne, we hope to see you next week, maybe.
And Greg, any final comments that
you know? Go smile at somebody.
Yeah, that's love that. That's right, right. And so we welcome our pastor, Father Bala, here today, who's going to give us a little Thanksgiving greeting and first Sunday of Advent. So, Father Bala, welcome.
Thank you, John, for welcoming me. And I'm happy to wish every one of you a very happy Thanksgiving Day. It's a time where all of us come together to celebrate God's love, gift of family, friendship, and faith. There should be no one alone. Therefore, if anyone is alone, please invite to your house and make them know that God and you love them. And once again, I want to thank you all for a wonderful celebration that you are going to have with friends and family. And as we are entering into Advent this coming Sunday, I want to ask all of you to remember that we welcome Jesus into our lives as we are preparing. Advent is the time we realize that Jesus is willing to come into this world, into our families, into our heart. Prepare well for Christmas. Let Christ be in Christmas. And also I ask you that if you are sending any greetings during this time, please do not send happy holidays greeting, but send happy Christmas. Christmas is nothing but Christ in celebration. Holidays is not Catholic or Christian holidays. Therefore, please remember Christ in Christmas. Merry Christmas and God's blessings to you as well.
Thank you, Father Bala, for those remarks. So as we go forth from this place, go out and smile at somebody as we listen to Prepare Ye the Way. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
You've been listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.